Exodus 19, verses 16 through 25. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And then chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. Now when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Thus far God's word.
Please pray with me. Oh, Father God, we come in your Son and through your Spirit. And Lord, this is your time. It belongs to you. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would convict us, Lord, of how serious our sin is and how it indeed separates us from you. But Lord, to be able to turn and rejoice in your gracious provision of mediation on our behalf. And so we just come, Lord, and wait before you, Lord, and trusting that you, Lord, have promised to speak to us. And so we offer this time up before you. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What's that?
Does anyone have a spare pen?
Oh.
Yeah, I found it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There are many forms of separation. It's one thing for a mother to say she hates to be separated from her children, and quite another for a man to sign paperwork to be legally separated from his now ex-wife. The first implies a mere separation of space. The mother has to go on a trip or the kids have to go to school. While the second signifies a separation due to mistrust, wrongs committed, and existing enmity. The tragic recipe of divorce. Another type of separation is one by distinction, by distinguishing kinds or species or qualities. For example, the apples are separated from the oranges as kinds of fruit. The lions are separated from the bears as species of animals. or the 14-karat gold is separated from the silver as a different quality of precious metal. It's a categorical separation. So we can see that there are several forms of separation: physical, legal, categorical. As we return to the book of Exodus this morning and come with the people of Israel trembling before the presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai, we are confronted with the reality of mankind's separation from God. Specifically, we'll want to look at how mankind is indeed physically, legally, categorically separated from God. And we want to do so because that leads us to the reality for the need of the ministry of mediation. As we will see with the people of Israel, we absolutely need a mediator in order to relate with God. If you remember from last time, we looked at how God is a being of utter majesty, and he holds us accountable through his word. It's this God who is holy, righteous, and unchanging, acting as judge of all the earth, who is also merciful, loving, and faithful, providing mediation between himself and sinners. Therefore, let us turn to our subject for the morning and see how we must depend upon God's provision of mediation. If you're not there already, please turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at verse 21. We have to first be reminded of how mankind is separated from God. The men, women, and children of the people of Israel, as they trembled together, watched Moses as he headed up to the top of the mountain. The Lord, having now arrived, called him up toward the source of the thunder, the lightning, the cloud, and trumpet. You can see that in verse 20. And we can assume, I believe, that Moses was ready to get this show on the road, so to speak. The Lord had used him to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt, to lead them through the Red Sea and across the wilderness, and to faithfully bring them to himself here at Mount Sinai. It had been long coming, but the day had finally arrived. The people were going to meet. They were meeting with the Lord. However, when Moses arrives to the top of the mountain, the Lord's main concern is separation. We read in Exodus 19:21, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord.'" If you remember, the Lord had already instructed Moses to set up a perimeter around the mountain. We see that back in verse 12, where we read, and this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, "Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it." What are we to make of the Lord's repeated warning to Moses about separation? Why was separation so important? Why was it absolutely necessary for the people of Israel to remain separated from the presence of the Lord? Well, the Lord, having physically manifested himself upon Mount Sinai, the separation between himself and the people needed to be physical. clearly physical. The Lord was at Mount Sinai, therefore the people could not be there. This is reminiscent of how Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden. The Lord was in the garden. Therefore, Adam and Eve, having sinned, could not remain there. A physical separation between God and mankind was established with Adam and Eve leaving the garden. It's being maintained here with the people of Israel, not being able to go up or be near the Lord upon Mount Sinai. And it's experienced today by fallen mankind as they face the reality of a great absence in our world. Our world is bursting with billions of people, manufactures millions of products, and offers innumerable experiences. And yet, a faint, haunting, sneaking suspicion remains. Something is absent, or someone is absent. A void that no amount of money, success, or pleasure can fill. Fallen mankind is separated from God. We are here, at least physically speaking, He is not. While fallen mankind may not miss God, they may not miss God, but whether they know it or not, day after day they are confronted with the reality that God is very much missing. He's not here. We are separated from Him. Mankind is physically separated from God. However, this separation, this physical separation, what is behind it? It's not only a physical separation, but also a legal one. If we read again, verse 21 of chapter 19, the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish." In so many words, the Lord is pointing toward the need of the people obeying a clearly established command and laying out a consequence if they don't. Why was this necessary? Even more so, why was it necessary to bring it up again to Moses? A few verses down, we can see it appears that Moses thinks it maybe a little much, reminding the Lord of the standing order. We read in verse 23, "And Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" Now the Lord may have appreciated Moses' reminder. However, He knew mankind too well. He knew that even a clearly established command did not ensure obedience. He knew that even the threat of death was no guarantee. What I want us to see is that the command and consequence witnessed in Exodus 21 is reminiscent of a previous clearly established command that was tragically disobeyed, and a consequence that each and every one of us assuredly suffers. The warning and threat of Exodus 19:21 is a reminder of the disobedience and punishment brought about by Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat," command, "for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die," consequence. The warning and the need for the people of Israel to stay away from Mount Sinai and the resulting consequence if they violated the restriction points us back to the original broken relationship between God and mankind. A broken relationship brought about by mankind's mistrust, wrongs committed, and resultant depravity. Henceforth, mankind has divorced themselves from God. And if there's any question who is to blame for the split, the law being given here actually in Exodus and the people of Israel's inability to remain faithful to it and our inability to faithful to it demonstrates for all time that we, mankind, is liable. We are to blame. The law finds us indisputably guilty of questioning God's intentions, ignoring God's wishes, and provoking God to hostility, and has established, in a sense, a restraining order against us. You must stay away, otherwise you will be punished. Mankind is legally separated from God. Nevertheless, some may still ask, why does the punishment have to be so severe? Why death? Well, we have to remember that that separation is not only physical, not only legal, but also categorical. As creatures, we have questioned, disobeyed, provoked, not just anyone, but our Creator, to enmity. We're not dealing here with a finite, fallible, foul being, but a being who is perfect, prodigious, and pure. Our God is of an entirely different category than us. The Creator has decreed that the punishment for our faithlessness, our rebellion, our hard-heartedness is death. This is why if the people of Israel broke through, whether the people or the priest broke through to the Lord, they would die. After all, they were breaking through to look at the Lord. The Lord, who is the holy, righteous, unchanging Creator. He is the one who, back in Exodus 3:6, Moses hides his face because he is afraid to look at God. The Lord, the one who later on in Exodus 33:20, the Lord will keep Moses from seeing his face. For he says, You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. The Lord is the great I am. Everything that exists, that has existence, depends upon his existence. If you think about it for a moment, there's no good thing you've ever enjoyed in your life that has not come from God. And yet, as dependent creatures, we have judged Him. We have disobeyed Him. We have turned our backs on Him.